I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm reminded of a speaker who once stood up and said, "Tonight I want to talk to you about a subject very close to my own heart, the subject of sin." On the back of your order of service, you should be able to see a big shield. So we're going to do something with shields in this service, and I need some volunteers. I need really 12 disciples to work with Matt. So Matt will come out again because he hasn't worked hard enough yet this morning. And I need 12 children, or they could be members of the choir, they could be children from down here, who want to try and find a shield, lots of shields, 12 shields that look like this, okay? So there are 12 shields somewhere in the church, and I'm going to try and find them. So we need some disciples here, okay? And are there any from the congregation want to come out? Emily's going to help. Fantastic. Anybody else? Got to try and find some shields, because they are going to give us part of the answer to an important question. Okay, so whilst you're finding the shields, I ought to say that if you're going to look for a shield, you might want to find a knight. So if there is a knight anywhere in this service, a statue of a knight, maybe there's even a knight's helmet up on the wall somewhere, that would give you a little clue as to where the shields might be. People are looking around the church. Some of you know where there might be a knight. You might want to help them. But otherwise, it's a question of just looking for that knight's helmet and where the knight might be lying down. He's an old knight. He died actually over 600 years ago and was buried in this church. His name is Thomas. So see if you can find Thomas, the old knight, whose statue is somewhere in the church, and try and find, it doesn't matter if you haven't got 12, you can start. And then try and find some shields, okay, and then bring them back to here when you found them. Okay, whilst they're looking for some shields that look like this, I'm going to tell you the story of a great theologian who was once giving a lecture on temptation to a university faculty in a huge auditorium. And he stood up and said to them, "I'm going to tell you tonight, everybody, the answer to temptation. After exhaustive study of the scriptures and Christian tradition, after pondering years of pastoral experience, I have found the answer. I've come to the conclusion that the answer to temptation can be boiled down into one sentence. In fact, it can be summed up in one word." Everybody in the auditorium was there with their pens and with bated breath. He said, "And the answer to temptation is this: no." Which is about the extent of my own wisdom on this subject. So has anybody else got anything that they found helpful in the battle against temptation? It looks like they found some shields. They might have found something helpful. And let's see if you can stand in the right order and actually make something helpful up with those words. Because we all are fighting against temptation. And we might know that the right answer to temptation is really no. But saying it is sometimes quite difficult. And in that first reading, when Eve saw, oh, the apple does look like it's going to be tasty, does look good for food, and, oh, it does look nice, and I think it would make me wise as well. Oh, well, go on then, I'll give it a try. Actually, saying no is really difficult. So we might know the right answer, lots of the time anyway, but actually saying it and doing it is not so easy. So here we have, this is Psalm 119, verse 16, and we'll put them up on that wall behind them in a moment. And they're sort of, could you come the other side of the altar so that people can see better? Because some of you aren't massively tall yet. You will get there. We'll be able to see you better. So let's see if we can read out Psalm 119, verse 16, assuming it's in the right order, which could be an assumption too far, but we'll wait and see. Are we ready? Everybody with me, hold those shields up as high as you can so that people can see them. Fantastic, well done. Are you ready? "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay, let's just try that one more time and see if we can say it a bit quicker. Are you ready? I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Fantastic. And that is Psalm 119, verse 16. Okay, everybody put your shields down a second. And let's say it again. Are you ready? I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 16. One more time. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 16. And we'll use that in the prayers in a moment. Thank you, everybody. If perhaps Matt could help you just put them up on the wall in that order, they should still be sticky. And you might want to go and have a look at the knight. He does have 12 shields around him. And every time you see that knight, you'll be thinking now. Now, what was that verse? What was that verse we learned? It was, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's why we need shields. Because sometimes we are tempted to do something wrong. To be selfish. To boast. To put someone else down. To steal something. Or say something nasty about someone. Maybe to lie to cover up something we've done wrong or something which we think other people might think bad of us for, so we lie to cover it up. Now, there was once an old Indian Christian who described his battle with temptation when he was tempted to do something wrong as like a fight going on inside him. He said, it's like a fight between two dogs fighting inside me, the good dog fighting the bad dog. And somebody heard him say that. So you've got a good dog and a bad, it's like there's a good dog and a bad dog fighting inside you, one trying to do the right thing, one trying to do the wrong thing. And they asked him a question. The question was, so which one wins? Which dog wins? And I'd like you just to turn to the person next to you and think, what was a wise answer to that question? What was a wise, the old Indian Christian was asked, if you've got a good dog and a bad dog fighting inside you, which one wins? What's the wise answer to that question? You say that, say a really wise answer to that question to somebody sitting next to you. I will leave you for a second whilst you do that. Has anybody with a loud voice got something that maybe the other person said that they can call out that you think would be a really wise answer? You've got a, feels like you've got a good dog inside you and a bad dog inside you. They're fighting away. Which one wins? What's the wise answer? I just heard from the back, whichever one you feed more. Fantastic. That was indeed the wise Indian who was planted at the back of the church. Thank you very much. His name is Alistair. We'll think of a fancy surname for him at some point. So you've got to feed one more than you feed the other, then it will be stronger. In fact, I want to say you want to starve one, starve the bad dog, because actually Paul in Romans said, make no provision for the flesh. When actually there are things that you are tempted to do which are bad, Jesus said, cut them out. If there's something that makes you sin, get rid of it. Maybe this Lent, actually, we need to get radical and get rid of something which actually is making us fall over and make mistakes and do bad things again and again. That will be a different something for each person here. But there may be something that you need to actually get rid of. I know that some of the mums I was talking to, although Facebook's a really good thing lots of the time, actually for Lent, they're going to not go on Facebook. And the reason why is because when you're on Facebook, you're often looking at other people's lives and thinking they're having a much more exciting time than you are, and you start to feel jealous. And you start to wish that you had their lives. Of course, what you really know is that they're just putting up the best bits of their life and the exciting things. They're not putting the really grotty photos of them or the really sort of boring things that they do up there. So one thing perhaps to do is to starve what is feeding you with temptation. To stop doing it. So is there anything? Does It's something to, for us all to think about. Is there anything you need to stop doing to starve that bad side, those temptations which are coming? And then feed the good dog. Feed the good person who is within you. Feed the person who in you who is the new person called to be like Jesus. Paul said in Galatians, again it's changing the image, but he said, sow to the spirit, not to the flesh. Make sure that you are planting and feeding that good side the whole time. How do you do that? Well, there's various ways. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. But actually, when we see what Jesus himself did when he was being tempted, he fasted and prayed, so he was praying, and then he used the Bible. Each time the devil came to him in that second reading we had there and tried to tempt him, Jesus used the Bible every time. If you just turn in your order of service, we'll see what he said. So the devil tried, first of all, turn these stones into bread. No, the scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone, but needs every word that God speaks. The devil says, show off, throw yourself down from the temple, because God will look after you. And Jesus said, no, the scripture says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The devil said, kneel down and worship me. Jesus said, no, go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Each time Jesus quotes God's word. Why? Because he had laid up, stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jesus had done that. Jesus had memorized and could quote the Bible to actually make sure that he didn't give in to temptation. And if Jesus fought temptation that way, how much more should you and I do it? Seriously. Store up the word of God in your heart that you may not sin against him. It really is an important, it's not the only thing, but it is a really important thing. It's how Jesus fought against temptation. It's how you and I are going to actually have that victory, which we talk about on the front there, victory in Jesus. That's how Jesus got victory, and that's how you and I will often get victory too. So we're going to finish the talk there, but we're going to finish it. Hopefully you picked a pen up when you came in. And what I'd like you to do is either, you've got a choice of three things which you're going to use in the prayers. You can either draw a Bible in that shield on the back of the order of service, or you can think of a Bible verse which you would use to help fight against temptation. Something which is already stored up in your heart, which you can actually quote and say if you're being tempted. So think of a verse, or if you can't think of one, then there's a suggestion up there you could put, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you've got a choice of three things you can do there. I've written, the truth will set you free. It's one I prepared earlier, so I could think about it before I actually came to church. Whilst you're doing that, we're going to hold up those shields in our prayers in a moment. Jimmy's going to lead us in the next bit of our service. So either draw a Bible, or write a Bible verse, or you can copy out Psalm 119, verse 16.